you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. We hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
Reading from James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appeared for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 17th, 2023. Joining me in the studio are two friends, a new friend and an older friend. In fact, we had evangelist Pastor Dave Kistler with us about a year ago because he was in town at Bible Baptist Church in Champaign putting on a revival. Well, he's back. I attended yesterday morning with my wife, Holly. We were thoroughly blessed. We reattended in the evening, and you have an opportunity tonight at 7 p.m., Bible Baptist Church in Champaign, 4001 West Kirby Avenue. Come on out at 7 p.m. tonight through Wednesday night. You're going to be blessed. In fact, Dave Kistler has a ministry throughout the country and the world. In fact, I'm going to have a new pastor that's in town, Pastor Steve Swan. He's been at the Bible Baptist Church in Champaign 5-6 or so months. Godly man. In fact, I'm going to have him on a testimony Tuesday in the coming days. But how about you introduce Dave to our radio listening audience? Give us an overview of who Dave Kistler is.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. And I met Dave yesterday at church for the very first time, and we talked on the phone a few times. And he has a very unique ministry, a Hope to the Hill. You would not think that a lot of people would want to go to Capitol Hill and be a witness there for Christ. But, you know, those people, the congressmen, the senators, they need Jesus, and they need our prayers. And so it has been a blessing to have him at our church. The messages yesterday were powerful. Even had one come to know Christ as their Savior. And I am rejoicing in this new friend that I have met. And I am happy to introduce him to you on the radio today.
And Dave, I know you also oversee Hope Ministry International, and I'll probably say this a few times throughout the broadcast, but you can find out more at hopeministriesonline.com, hopeministriesonline.com. But the notes that I had from yesterday, Pastor Dave, Evangelist Dave, I wrote down the words refreshing, passionate, heartfelt, clear, and powerful. I so appreciated and it motivated me. Holly and I, when we went to lunch yesterday after the church service, we were pleasantly not amazed or not surprised, but you were so clear on the importance of all of us looking at time, looking at our lives. Where do we stand? Where is our soul at? Heaven and hell is a reality. And I think for the people that you were preaching and sharing with, you made it crystal clear. There's a good God, and he wants all to come to know him. But some of us, because of sin in our lives, because of the choices, we might be resisting that calling to surrender to Jesus. And you were just so clear and passionate, and your heartfelt message carried so many elements that I thought, I have to have you in today. And I want to encourage our listeners, tonight at 7 p.m., Bible Baptist Church in Champaign, 4001 West Kirby Avenue. You can be a part of a three-day revival. It began yesterday, but there's still tonight, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. Bring your unchurched friends. In fact, from the Sunday service to the evening service, there was a net gain of more and more people. We brought some friends, some board members showed up, and so I would hope if you can carve out time. And if you're listening to this program, the re-airing in the evening, and it's about 7:40 now, you can still drive over, come a little late, that's okay. We'll fit you in, and you're going to be blessed by Dave Kistler and his ministry of proclaiming the gospel message and yet bringing hope to our lives because he's influential in Washington, D.C. So, Dave, is there anything else by way of introduction that you'd want our listeners to know? And I don't know if you want to touch on some of the topics that I wrote down from yesterday, the fragile life that we're living, or the fleeting life, or the finality of life. If you want to touch on those, or God may have put some other message on your heart, but I began with the James 4:13 through 17 because you touched on some of that yesterday.
Well, Mark, let me just say this. It was a delight to be with you a year ago, and it's certainly a delight to be back, and I appreciate all your kind words. I'm not worthy really of any of that, but I appreciate your kindness. But I'll say this, Mark, we get so caught up, and I guess the gist of the message yesterday was we get so caught up in just living life, and we focus on life down here, the temporal, that we sometimes forget about the eternal. And the fact of the matter is this, we're going to live way longer on the other side of the doorway called death, and we're going to live on this side of the doorway called death. And so my admonition to the folks yesterday was just, you need to prepare for that life because we're all going to face eternity, and there's only two options. And it's not politically correct, but it is biblically correct. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is no middle ground in between, and you have to make a choice between those two, and which of those directions you go will be determined by the choice you make on the earth side of that doorway we call death. And of course, the urgency of it was underscored again. You heard me share about my brother. I'm a twin. It's only two of us in our family. And my brother, who has been a fitness buff all of his life, exercise guy all of his life, had a heart attack in January. And as a result of that, some things were altered with the makeup of electrical impulses of his heart. It caused him to have 12 full cardiac arrests. And my brother sat on the brink of death for about a month. And yet God intervened, spared his life. But he literally had no time to make a decision when he had that cardiac arrest. The decisions he had made spiritually up to that point were decided. Now, thankfully, God spared his life. But of course, what I was stressing to people is we don't know. And that's what the passage you read says. James says, we don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, so we have to make those decisions now.
And I think you gave an illustration of an individual, somebody, I can't remember, it was the Pentagon or somebody, a close friend, somebody that you appreciate, and he kind of said, well, you know, I'm going to live my life, enjoy all that life has to offer, and yet in my maybe closing minutes, that's when I'm going to ask Jesus into my heart or recognize God as sovereign. And you said, but you just never know what will happen those last few minutes of your life. Or those people that have that mindset, oh, I'm just going to live life and enjoy it, then I'll decide. Well, they might so harden their heart through the years of sin and regret that they'll never turn to God.
That's true. And you know what? I admonish that gentleman who made that statement, and he was in the Pentagon. He was a high-ranking official there. Wonderful guy. I love him. But I said, the fact of the matter is this, you may not be conscious the last few moments of your existence on this earth. You may not have the opportunity to call out to the Lord. And I believe Jesus is coming back in an event I believe the Bible very clearly describes in 1 Thessalonians 4 called the rapture, and that can occur at a moment in the twinkling of an eye, the twinkling, literally the sparkling of an eye. It's faster than the blinking of an eye. I know back in the 70s, Westinghouse tried to calculate the glitter of the light off the human eye, and they came up with some ridiculous number like 15/100ths of a second. Either way you want to calculate that, that's fast. And my point to him was, if Jesus came back and you're not ready, you're not going to have time to even think about making a decision. That's why the Bible places the emphasis on now is the time. Today is the day. And again, of course, encouraging the folks at Bible Baptist yesterday to consider that. And as Pastor said, thank the Lord, we had one that trusted Christ as Savior.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think, and you didn't touch on it so much yesterday, and maybe you'll touch on it tonight or this week, but if we understand or know the character of God, that God is a loving God, he's a just God, but he's a merciful God, full of grace, but he desires all of us to draw near to him. But sometimes because of how maybe our earthly dads botched up that image of God or failed us or were workaholics or alcoholics or abusive or inept or weren't around. So sometimes that tarnished our image of Father God. But maybe for that listener that's tuned in on his way to work, scanning the dial for the next rock and roll song, and he's hearing this conversation about God loving them, walk us through, what does it mean that God loves people, that God loves that individual right now tuned in with the stirring in their heart? They're feeling like, I think they're speaking to me.
Well, you know, God created the first two people, Adam and Eve, and put them in a perfect environment because he loved them. Well, they made choices to disobey God that plunged the entire human race into sin. And then God tried to bridge that gap and did bridge that gap between sinful man and him as a holy God in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he sent Jesus to come to this earth, to die on a cross, to be buried, to rise again the third day. It's the consummate example of someone loving someone else enough to give the only son they had. And that's what God did. And God loves people that much. 1 Peter 3:8 says it about as well as it can be said. The Lord is long-suffering toward us, patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is extending daily an opportunity for everyone to come to him and be saved. And so if someone's listening and they think God is an ogre, he's not. Mm. If they think God is angry at them, he's not. He loves them. Now, he will judge sin. He has to because of what you said earlier. He's just and he's holy and he's righteous. But he loves people and he pursues people. And he pursued me, and I found him one day as a young man, and I've never regretted that. And those listening today can have the same experience of forgiveness and salvation in the person of Jesus Christ.
And I'm thinking for that listener that's maybe unfamiliar with the fact they can have a relationship with God, this is your divine appointment. God cares for you. You didn't just by happenstance be on one of our 19 frequencies. This is your divine appointment where God is speaking through Dave, through Pastor Steve here, through maybe the experience when you come out tonight at 7 p.m. to Bible Baptist Church in Champaign. What is a sneak preview? What are some of the topics maybe tonight or the next few days you'll be covering?
To be honest with you, Mark, I didn't know yesterday morning what I was going to speak on. I had four or five topics, you know, that the Lord had placed on my heart, but I didn't really know exactly where I was going to go until we got into the auditorium yesterday, and the Lord began to just kind of direct through the music. And so I have some things on my mind and in my heart, but as sure as I say we're going to go this direction, right, we may go somewhere else. But we're going to just encourage people. I am going to share a little bit about what God's doing on Capitol Hill. We have a ministry there called Hope to the Hill. It's an entity underneath our Hope Ministries International umbrella. And a lot of people watch the news and they come to the conclusion, you know, D.C.'s a God-forsaken city. God's not alive and well there. I'm going to assure people he is. And we're going to show literally some video footage of what God has been doing in very recent days on Capitol Hill to let people know that he is working, even in what some people consider the darkest city on the planet.
And talk a little about that ministry, because last year when you were in fact, did you see I still had it out here next to my picture?
I was impressed by that, Mark.
It says, "Can we pray?" And then there's some crosses in the national capital, Hope to the Hill, and then it's "We can pray, Hope to the Hill." And I don't know what you call this, something that you'd pin on your lapel or...
Well, pins, Mark, are important to members of Congress. They all wear one that's specially designed for them. It cannot be duplicated. It identifies them as a member of Congress. Mm. What we've done is had that made. It's in the shape of the United States Capitol. In the columns there, where the columns of the Capitol will be, we've got three crosses, one in the center representing Jesus, the two on the outside, the two thieves. Across the top in the dome of the Capitol is the question that we ask every member of Congress when we part company from them. We may be in their office. We may be in the quarters of the Capitol building. We may be out on the street. But when we part company, we ask a three-word question. And the question is this: can we pray? And I want to tell you this. We have never been turned down one time. I don't care who it is, which side of the aisle they're on. We've never been turned down when we offer to pray. Prayer's free. But the ramifications, the positive consequences of prayer are priceless. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we had the pen made. We present those to members of Congress. And I wanted to present one to you last year because of your passion for the Lord and being willing to do the radio interview. But God is doing some amazing things through this ministry on Capitol Hill. There's some things I can't talk about. There's some things I can. But I want to assure people that there are people on Capitol Hill that are in the House, in the Senate, that love the Lord. And we're trying to be like Aaron and Hur in the Old Testament, who lifted up Moses' arms, tried to strengthen him at a pivotal time in his life. We're going in, those that know the Lord, we're trying to encourage them. Those that don't know the Lord on Capitol Hill, we're definitely sharing the love of Jesus with them.
And I remembered this about you the last time you were in, and I'm glad it's still a passion of yours, the power behind prayer, because there's a lot of shut-ins, people that can't get out. Maybe they're incarcerated. I know we have friends in Lincoln, in the Danville prison systems, other systems that they can get our signal, and they're incarcerated. They really can't go out. Or those that because of health issues, but they can pray, and the power of their prayer to influence people is tremendous. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to have our new board member, Bishop Jonathan Franklin, and he's launching a new prayer initiative throughout the Springfield area, but I think it may take this radio ministry by storm. His concept is at noon every day, for 30 seconds, pray the Lord's Prayer. And he wants everyone thinking through the power in that Lord's Prayer. And it takes about 30 seconds. And he thought, if we could mobilize people throughout Illinois and maybe throughout the nation to just stop at noon and say in their mind or in their heart the Lord's Prayer, what might God do? And so I know you've been asking for prayer. You had prayer going on for your brother and how God brought great healing and hope and change and restoration and the prayer that we need. I'm not going to pray for him. He's not a part of my party, or I don't like the decisions he's making. But that's one thing you've been able to establish is the power of prayer, of showing care and compassion. And you've made inroads, not just with a conservative party or people that line up with all your beliefs. You're making inroads because you're introducing them to Jesus.
Mark, what we tell people is this. What we do on Capitol Hill has nothing to do with politics. Now, personally, I have very strong political opinions, but what we do on Capitol Hill has nothing to do with politics. I jokingly say I even hate the word politics. It's a compound word, poly, many, ticks, blood-sucking insects, and I just don't like politics, period. So what we do on Capitol Hill has nothing to do with politics. It has a little bit to do with policy. I mean, I'm thrilled that Roe v. Wade was overturned on the federal level and that babies' lives are being spared, and we did work with members of Congress on both sides of the aisle to try to facilitate the accomplishment of that. So it's a little bit of policy, nothing with politics, a little bit with policy, but primarily what we do on Capitol Hill is proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, lead members of Congress, their staff members, their families to Christ, and then try to disciple them to a closer walk with the Lord.
I don't know if it was mentioned in the introduction, but I know that you own or help oversee like a 2,000-person tent. Or tell us a little about that and how we can be praying for your Hope Ministry International and also your ministry, Hope to the Hill.
Well, Mark, that's really how all of this got started. Hope to the Hill, which is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week ministry to appointed and elected officials in D.C., started as a result of an old-fashioned tent. Back around 1999, the Lord allowed us to purchase a tent that would seat approximately 2,000 people. My passion was to set it up on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. And the National Mall, for those who don't know, is that 2-mile-long stretch of real estate from the Capitol Building, 1 mile to the Washington Monument, another mile down to the Lincoln Memorial. And we were privileged 3 times to set that massive tent up there and conduct crusades. As a result of that, we were invited into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. This was during the George W. Bush years. We didn't set the tent up, but we did it outdoor in that 5-acre courtyard in the center of the Pentagon. And God blessed all of that. And the Lord just burdened my heart. I wanted to have a greater impact on the people that make the decisions that affect not only the United States, but by extension affect the world. And so we began praying, how can we impact them? And so it's gone from tent crusades in the Pentagon on the National Mall to a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week ministry to appointed and elected officials. And it's been the ride of my life, Mark. I'll be honest. If I could use this analogy, I feel right now at 63 years of age that I'm on the back of a bull. And over there's a clock counting to 8 seconds, and I'm trying to hang on for the entire ride. But it's been an awesome journey. It's an amazing journey. And the great thing about it is it's not over yet. Lord willing, till Jesus comes back, I'm going to have the privilege to serve him.
Another thing that I love and appreciate about you, you were born 1960?
1959.
59. I'm 1960. So when you were saying 63, I'm currently 63. You're going to soon be 64. 64.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're very close. And I hope I can continue to have the energy that you have and the passion for the Lord. And this tent. Now, again, I don't know if this is another one of those divine appointments, but I'm on a Billy Sunday revival committee in Springfield. And they had their first gathering this year. And they're thinking of maybe a tent revival or something outside. Where is this 2,000-person tent? Is that still being used?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely. We just set it up in North Carolina for a big 4th of July event we do. In fact, we set up the big tent and a smaller tent for overflow. and it draws hundreds and hundreds of people to it. So yeah, the tent is used all the time. The worst thing for a tent, Mark, spiritually and just physically for the fabric of the tent, is for it to be rolled up sitting in a trailer somewhere. Yeah. So what we do is this. We allow people of like faith to utilize the tent. We have a full-time tent coordinator that travels. And if somebody wants to use it to preach the gospel, they go, they set the tent up, they'll stay there the entire time. We have sound system that goes with it. We have about 500 chairs that we transport. Most of the time we have to add additional chairs in, but we try to use the tent nonstop for the proclamation of the gospel. So yeah, it's in use all the time.
All right, Kevin, Levi, from those of you in Springfield that have been praying up that Billy Sunday revival for 2024, this might be the inroad, because I think they had about 500 and we want to build towards 1,000 or more, and then maybe a 5,000 or 10,000 person venue, but that might be the nice stepping stone forward. So we'll certainly be praying up that. And Hope to the Hill and Hope Ministries International, you can find out more at hopeministriesonline.com, hopeministriesonline.com. Let me encourage you, if you can come out tonight through Wednesday night, 7 p.m., Bible Baptist Church in Champaign. It's worth the drive in if you're coming in from Springfield, Decatur, Bloomington, obviously Champaign, Urbana, East Central Illinois. Listeners, you can make it over. It's 4001 West Kirby Avenue in Champaign. If you need more information or you want to verify, is it wheelchair accessible? Yes, it is, but maybe you have special arrangements or need to know something else. Call 217-359-3021, 217-359-3021. Pastor Steve, this is the first time you've met Dave. I know you've learned about his ministry from your congregants and members that love having him back. In fact, you, after talking with them, you said the bar is pretty high.
Yeah,
I hope, Dave, as you introduced him, you can meet that. And he exceeded it. I was so blessed yesterday and last night. In fact, I'm going to try to be there every day this week. I'll be coming from Springfield on two of the days. But what's your takeaway from some of what Dave shared for you as a pastor and for you as somebody that desires people come to know Jesus?
Well, my take was hope. I look at the news and, you know, I have my own strong political views, and I look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. and all the stuff I see, and I was like, oh man, there is no hope for our country. But then after hearing Dave and sharing what's going on and being able to pray with some of the congresswomen and men that are serving us there and people that I would say, boy, they would never want anybody to pray for them from how I've heard them talk on the TV and things like that. And there's hope because they are getting into their offices. They're sharing Christ with them. They are open to the gospel. And so my take is there's hope. And there's always hope when we share Jesus Christ.
To find out more about Dave Kistler's ministry, stop by hopeministriesonline.com, hopeministriesonline.com. Better yet, join us tonight, 7 p.m., Bible Baptist Church in Champaign, 4001 West Kirby Avenue. I hope you can make it tonight through Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Dave, I'm going to give you the closing word. Is there anything else you'd want to say to our listeners or just encourage them to come out tonight at 7 p.m.?
Well, we would obviously love people to come, but I want to springboard off of what Pastor Swan said, and that is the word that he took away from yesterday, and that is hope. Proverbs says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick, or hope delayed. I want you to understand, and I want our listeners to understand, there is always hope available in Jesus Christ. I don't care where you are, what you're doing, what you're involved in. If you think you are outside the ability or reach of God to touch you, or you think God doesn't even love you, can I assure you that is not the case? He does love you, and hope is the operative word right now. So there's hope available in Jesus Christ. And if folk come out tonight through Wednesday night, I think that's what they're going to hear and that's what they're going to experience.
Listening friend, I hope you'll take Dave up on that personal invitation. Come out tonight to the Bible Baptist Church, 4001 West Kirby Avenue in Champaign, 7 p.m. tonight through Wednesday night. There's a blessing in store for you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Evangelist Dave Kistler, and Pastor Steve Schwann with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night, and I hope to see you tonight.